Right now, many young men left their homes to serve in World War II during the 1940s, leaving many minor league baseball teams short of players. And a women's league helped fill that void in the American sports world. Bob Kahn is a storyteller, performer, and researcher who educates kids and adults at schools, libraries, and festivals around the country. He's also the author of several Badger biographies for kids, including one about Joyce Westerman, a Kenosha native who spent 8 seasons on a team for the All-American Girls Baseball League. Bob, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
Well, what got you into the idea of telling this story of the Girls Baseball League and of Joyce Westerman in particular?
So as you mentioned, I'd written several other Badger biographies, and Kathy Borkowski, who is the editor of the series from the Wisconsin Historical Society Press, had interviewed Joyce for an adult book about women and work in the war during the 1990s. So Joyce was on Kathy's radar screen. Kathy thought Joyce would be a good subject for one of the Badger biographies. I had a track record writing these. Kathy didn't know that I was a baseball fan from age 5 growing up near Chicago, so she asked me to write it, and the rest is history.
Yeah, talk about the rise of the Girls Baseball League.
So when United States entered World War II, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, Kennessee Mountain Landis, contacted President Roosevelt to ask him if men should continue playing baseball while the war was going on. President Roosevelt was a baseball fan. He said, absolutely, the workers at home are going to need some recreation and diversion while the war goes on. So Major League Baseball continued at the summer of 42, but by the end of the summer, half of the players were now in the military. P.K. Wrigley, who owned the Chicago Cubs, was worried if men stopped playing baseball, the fans would get out of the habit of coming to see baseball games, so he wanted to fill the baseball stadiums. He knew about women's softball. Chicago is a hotbed of women's softball, and softball became very wildly popular during the Depression because it was a free form of recreation. So Wrigley had this idea he could start a women's baseball league. He quickly learned through research from his staff that they couldn't fill Wrigley Field, but they still thought it was a good idea. So in 1943, they formed what eventually became known as the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. 4 teams, Kenosha Comets, Racine Belles, Rockford Peaches, and South Bend Blue Sox. The idea behind the league is that these young women would play like men, but look like women and act like women.
And Wisconsin played a big role. You mentioned a couple of the initial teams. At least one more team joined in Wisconsin, right? And a lot of Wisconsin women played in the league.
Right. Milwaukee had a team for 1 year, 1944, called the Milwaukee Chicks. They won the league championship that season. By my reckoning, there were 37 women from Wisconsin who played in the league. Many of the other players played on the Wisconsin teams and eventually settled in Wisconsin.
And you mentioned looking like women, and you wrote about Joyce Westerman. Well, she was on the Ideas Network some years back. Judith Sears Poisson talked to her on the Kathleen Dunn Show, so it's been a while back. Let's listen to Joyce talk about the uniforms and the appearance of the players.
They were like a dress, and it's not true that everybody liked them, because I didn't like them, and a lot of the other girls didn't like them, and the skirts were flared. And they'd get in the way, especially for pitchers when they were underhand pitchers. So they would pin them back or sew them back so that when you came through with your arm that they didn't hit the skirt and it would throw your pitch off. But anyway, they were very hot and they weren't very, very safe. I mean, when we slid, we had a lot of bruises and bloody legs and stuff like that. And I wasn't very fast and much. I was a catcher, so I didn't steal a lot, but I still got my share of bumps and bruises on my thighs, you know. And but you know, when they designed those things, I think that's what part of it was for, was, you know, to get the interest of the people and especially the guys, to make you very feminine. That was the idea of it, and that's why to begin with they sent us to that charm school and wanted you to wear makeup and stuff like that. Well, it's not too practical, because if you got eyeshadow on and all this stuff, which I didn't have to do, actually, because I didn't start till 1945. Mm-hmm. But you could put a mask on and this chest protector and your dress on and all that stuff, and you would perspire, and that stuff would run down your face, and it just, that wasn't practical at all.
So Joyce Westerman there talking about the uniforms and the look and the charm school. You mentioned playing a sport like men was the idea, but looking very ladylike, I guess, was the attitude.
Exactly. And those uniforms Joyce described were just brutal on the aggressive base runners. Sophie Curious was the most famous base stealer in the history of the league. For 6 years, she stole more than 100 bases every single season, including 201 out of 203 attempts in 1946. And she and the aggressive runners would have to rebandage their thighs every single day because they would just get what were called strawberries, raw scraped patches of skin and scabs that would just reopen and reopen. I met one of the players who lives in Madison, Tony Palermo, who told me that she still has scars on her thighs, and this is 60 years later.
Did I read somewhere these are not high-quality fields, always gravel involved in the base path?
Right. There was gravel. There was stones. These were not the well-manicured fields that we're used to today. The anticipated pain and suffering for the players was so bad, one of the managers had to avert his eyes every time one of the girls slid.
So they weren't treated well, it sounds like, in a lot of ways. And this wasn't a great paying job, but for some of the women, compared to what else they might be doing, it did pay okay.
Well, the pay was pretty good. So Joyce's first season, she'd been working polishing pistons on the assembly line at what was then called Nash Motors, eventually became American Motors in Kenosha. She was getting $40 a week working on the assembly line. She took a leave of absence when she tried out for the league, eventually got a letter inviting her to play for $55 a week. So that was a big pay raise for her. She was making more money than her dad was working at the factory. So she thought that was good pay. And generally, the pay was very good compared to kind of comparable civilian work that these young women would have been doing otherwise.
Talking to Bob Kahn about Wisconsin's role in women's baseball back in the 1940s and 50s. He's written about Joyce Westerman, a Kenosha native who spent 8 seasons in the All-American Girls Baseball League. And he does talks at venues around the state on this and other topics. Bob, why did Wisconsin have this big role? Was it just coincidence because Wrigley started this based in the Chicago area?
Not coincidence so much as geographic necessity, because the league was formed while the war was going on and there was gas rationing. And so they had to form a league in which the cities were close to each other. So they kept it kind of all around Chicago, Kenosha, Racine, South Bend. And in the history of the league, eventually in 1948, there were 10 teams. That's when the league peaked. But it was all Midwestern based, because even when the war ended, they were now traveling by bus. And it might take a 9-hour bus ride from Grand Rapids, Michigan to Peoria. And the girls would play games usually at night. Then they might have a bus ride all night to get to the next city to play their next game. So geography really dictated. There was 2 years, 1949 and 50, they took two of the teams, the Chicago Colleens and the Springfield Sallies, and instead of playing competitively against the other teams, they went on tour around the East Coast and in the South, and they played against each other, both to drum up interest in the league, and they would hold tryouts for the league at these exhibition games to get new talent for the league. But geography very much dictated where they were located, although there were players from all over the United States, a lot of California players, because they had developed their skills year-round playing. Some Canadian and 8 Cuban women eventually played in the league.
Why did the women's league decline in the 50s?
There's a sort of confluence of factors. When the war ended, the men came back, and so now they were competing for the attention of fans against the men who were playing. Television came into being, and that meant the men were on TV. There was other TV, so people had other recreational activities. There was an economic boom after the war, and so people now had cars. There were just many more recreational activities, whereas when the league was first formed, if you were in Kenosha or Racine and you couldn't travel by car because of gas rationing, the Women's Baseball League was about the only game in town. And then the league became decentralized toward the the end of 1950, and the quality of play was very uneven, and the quality of promotion amongst the teams was uneven, and there was a recession beginning in 1950, so all of these factors contributed to the demise of the league.
Seems like the league was forgotten in many ways, but eventually the women who played in the league were recognized, I think, in the Baseball Hall of Fame, and then in the movie that probably connects people to that, A League of Their Own.
Yes, that put them back on the celebrity path, on the radar screen, particularly the movie. So suddenly they were now throwing out first balls at baseball games and signing autographs. Their streets, their playgrounds, schools that are named after women who played in the league. So that movie really gave them a jolt of celebrity.
Are you glad that they got that recognition after being off the radar for literally decades?
Oh, yes. Long, long overdue. The challenges that they faced playing baseball in the 40s and 50s, both on the field and off the field, were just unimaginable these days. And some of the women I've talked to who played think Major League Baseball players today are tremendously pampered. You know, they have relief pitchers after they have a pitch count in tennis considered too many for some pitchers. And some of the women couldn't play anymore because their arms were blown out from being overused. Some of them couldn't transition from pitching underhand to overhand, and so they blew out their arms. There was one player from Madison. Her name was Phyllis Kane, nicknamed Sugar Kane. And she began as an outfielder. She pitched in 46 and 47, won about 20 games each year. When they switched to overhand, she couldn't do it. It was unnatural, and her arm was dead within a couple of years. So it was hard, really, really hard. So I'm glad they got recognition for doing something quite extraordinary.
Now, you present this in person at libraries and other venues around the state. What kind of reaction, especially from maybe the kids who are hearing these stories for the first time from you?
The reactions have been kind of universally positive. Many people have seen the movie who come to my shows. I've had relatives of some of the women in the league. I gave this presentation in Racine at the Golden Rondel last week. I had a woman who was a Batgirl in the league.
No kidding.
I had four women who were nieces of one of the players in the league. I had somebody else who one of the players lived in her family's home when she was a little girl. And then there's just people who saw the movie and are just interested in the story, and I'm providing them additional information and some background stories and occasionally a little gossip about the movie that appeals to them. Everybody loves the story. It's an underdog story, and so it's not, I'm just sort of passing on the story to people who appreciate it.
Bob, thanks a lot for sharing it with us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Bob Kahn, author of several Badger biographies for kids, including one about Joyce Westerman, a Kenosha native who spent 8 seasons on the All-American Girls Baseball League. Join us for a look at women's baseball in the 1940s and 50s in Wisconsin and around the Midwest.